Hi everyone, my name's Grace. I'm going to read the Bible for us this evening. We've got a few Proverbs that we'll read through together, and then we will read Luke chapter 9, verses 22 to 27. The Proverbs are all on your handouts that you would have received as you came in, or they're on the screens behind us as well. The wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? And now we'll read from Luke chapter 9, verses 22 to 27. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
Hello everyone, it's good to see you. If you haven't met me before, my name is James Speck. I'm a student minister here at St. Stephen's, and it's great to see everyone here. I was trained at 5 p.m. Beforehand, and I gave them a bit of a challenge. Feel free not to do this, but I was like, look, you can get your Bibles out, but you have to be the fastest finger to get through all the Proverbs and do all that. So it's a bit of a challenge for you, but just a bit of a fun time there. But anyway, we're going to be looking into Proverbs. So tonight, this is actually our final week in Proverbs. And so I hope it's been really encouraging for you. We've been kind of dipping in and out recently this year and also last year as well. So feel free to go through those sermons again, because there's a lot of gold in there. But before we head into the sermon, how about we pray to God, because I definitely need a lot of help. And yeah, we all need a lot of help as we look into God's word. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can be here to glorify you. Father, we just pray especially as we come and look into Proverbs and many different parts of the Bible tonight, that we'll have open minds and open hearts. And Father, thank you for the joy. It is coming together to glorify you and to just see many different great things we have in your Son. Amen. 2013 was a very interesting year as many different sayings went viral that year. Does anyone remember 2013 quite well? Okay, that's okay. Because luckily, I have a bit of a no-pressure refresher for you guys, as I'll give you kind of two examples of what went quite viral. The first one is YOLO. Does everyone remember this one? Yep, you can only live once. This was an idea of how to live your life, how to get the best out of your life, and the idea of like taking risks and giving things a go. I remember in high school, it was like everywhere. I was on t-shirts, it was in songs. I remember actually on Christmas, it was like a Secret Santa. My auntie gave me a YOLO hat. I'm really happy I didn't wear it at all, because it would be very embarrassing. So YOLO was a big one. But the second one is this thing called Dumb Ways to Die. Can I ask you if you know this song, don't sing it, because that's all you're going to think about, and I'm not going to sing it, so yeah. The whole idea is these little cartoon figures singing about how there are so many foolish ways to die. From eating a two-week-old unrefrigerated pie, yum, or even taking your helmet off in space. Lovely, right? Oh, great song. But this video went viral, and probably the biggest plot twist was that it was actually an ad campaign around Melbourne trains to be safe there as well. Very strange. Believe it or not, what if I told you YOLO is not the best way to live your life? Or the foolish ways that you could die in this ad campaign are actually not the most foolish way possible to die. What if I told you that throughout the Bible, and especially in the wisdom of Proverbs, we are told that the best way to live, and even the most foolish way to live that could lead to death, is actually in the Bible? And that's actually what we'll be looking into tonight. As Proverbs and other books of the Bible show us a path of life, a path of death, but also how people can come from death back to life. And those are kind of the 3 points. And as it is a Proverbs series, what we're going to do is I'm going to read a few Proverbs out. We're going to just chew on it for a bit. And then we're also going to look at other parts of the Bible to get a better understanding of what it has to say. So, path of life. This point is brought to you by Proverbs chapter 12, 28, 13, 14, and 14, 12, which says this: in the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. The teaching of the wise is a foundation of life, turning a person from from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a foundation of life, turning a person from the snares of death. You see, through these Proverbs, we see an imagery of a path that leads to life, and only the righteous can walk on it. But the question is, how can we walk on this path of righteousness? Well, the answer is fearing the Lord and having a relationship with Him, because the wisdom of God and the way of life go hand in hand, as He is the one who is fully righteous, good, and perfect. King Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, saw this as the most crucial thing to living well. And we can see it through Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, which says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, fearing the Lord doesn't mean being scared like a child facing a bully. It actually means standing in awe of God's power and holiness and trusting in His perfect wisdom. So fearing the Lord and following Him leads to true life, and that will have no end, and you will be with Him forever. You see, not just in Proverbs, but throughout the whole Bible, we see that following the Lord and listening to His instructions bring an overflow of life. We see this from the start of Genesis 1, where His instructions and words bring life to the whole universe, and importantly to us as we have been made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, the Lord gives instructions to Adam and Eve that they can eat from any tree they like except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as it will lead to death. And if they follow these instructions, it will lead to life with God instead of death. We also see more of God's life-giving words in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46 to 47, as Moses tells the Israelites that the law of God is not just words, but they are your life, because they are His instructions and will lead to living well for Him. And especially in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, God's words give us spiritual life as we grow to become more like Jesus. You see, God's instructions is righteous and perfect, so we should listen and follow Him. You see, following Him will lead us on the good path, but most importantly, it leads us to a strong relationship with our God and understanding who He is. For example, it kind of reminds me of the important instructions you get on an IKEA furniture. That one looks quite hard. But without them, there is no hope. It's only like chaos. And you're trying to create something if you don't have the instructions and it just doesn't work out. It's a bit of a disaster. And so normally we like to kind of go our own way, believing we know better and not following God's words or instructions, but they are crucial. And listening to them will lead to life the way God meant it to be. But you see, the problem is as humans, we don't do this well, don't we? We think our ways and knowledge are better, which actually results in us rejecting God and leads to a path of death. And actually brings us to our next point in our next Proverbs, which says this: the wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? Coming back to the illustration of looking at the instructions of an IKEA furniture, when I started college, I bought a few things from IKEA. And one of the things I bought was like this office chair, a desk chair for my room. And so when I got back, I started setting it up. But let's just say I got a little bit too confident and threw out the instructions. Bad idea if you're using IKEA. This is actually what happened to my chair. I don't know if you can see it very well, but see that little part there? That's the backrest thing. That's not supposed to look like that. So for me, I actually sat on that chair probably for let's just say a month. And so it was kind of like a stool, but my back was quite sore. it was frustrating. It wasn't really great. And I thought I was better than IKEA. I thought I was better than the creator's instructions. And by the way, if you need any help with setting up anything with IKEA, please do not ask me. Find someone else. You'll do better. but this disastrous situation is actually what we all do, not the chair, but what we do when we do not listen and follow to God's instructions. All humans tend to go their own way, believing that their way is okay and not needing to consult God's way and his instructions. You see, if God's all righteous, all good, and everything he does gives life, what happens when we don't follow his way? Well, we all walk on the path of death. You see, we all struggle with our sinful nature and desires, and to put our thoughts and beliefs first. You see, our sin does not just affect our relationships with one another, but most importantly, it affects our relationship with God, as we have rejected him. Throughout the Bible, we see the disastrous impact that sin has on our relationship with God. From Genesis 3, we see Adam and Eve disobey God's instructions and eat from the tree of knowledge, which leads to sin entering the world and a broken relationship with him. Even Proverbs chapter 9 shows us the imagery of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And there are kind of two paths, one to wisdom by listening to Lady Wisdom, and the other is folly. But the thing is, we always tend to follow our own desires and limited knowledge, and we walk on the path of folly rather than life. And lastly, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 reminds us that sin does not just wound us, it actually kills us. As it says here, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." You see, this passage, together with Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, show that we tend to revert back to thinking our ways are better, or we listen to the knowledge of the world than God's. I think we can see this in the world, don't we? There's so many opinions, so many views, so many ways to live. Do this to get the best out of your life, or if you agree with us, or agree with this, or act like this, this is the way to live. I wonder if you feel the pressure or feel the temptation of the world and what it says. At home? Do you feel it at work? At school or uni? The problem is we can be fooled into thinking we're on the path of life simply because we're doing good things, things that the world praises. But if we're not acknowledging who God is, then we're actually just rejecting him. See, that rejection places us on the path of everlasting death, separated from our Heavenly Father who loves us. No amount of good works or moral living can put us on the path of life unless we acknowledge God as our Creator and follow his ways, because his way is the only way. My question for you is, do you feel the weight of that? Do you see the seriousness of your sin and how that has led to a relationship being fractured between God and man? That we listen to the folly of the world rather than a perfect God, who is the definition of wisdom and goodness. Romans 3:23 says this, "We have all fallen short of the glory of God because of our sin." But you see, God didn't just leave us stuck on this path. Though we rejected him, he sent Jesus to walk the path of death for us, so we could walk the path of life with him. Let's look at Luke 9. It says this, "And he said," Jesus was saying this, "the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." You see, the beauty of the gospel is that while we were dead in our sins and we deserve hell, God still has a plan to save us. The words of God that gives life became flesh, as we see in John 1. He came into the world to save us from the path of destruction, to save us from ourselves. The Lord Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, walked the path that we couldn't. He walked the path of life. Luke shows us that Jesus suffered, was rejected, and died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sin. He did this so you and I could be forgiven, the ransom paid, and our broken relationship with God is restored. Jesus willingly chose the path of death so we could walk the path of life and be with our Heavenly Father for eternity. He took our punishment, died in our place, and then rose again. And when he put our trust in him, we're no longer dead in our sin, but we are alive in Christ. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 9 gives us more evidence of this, as it says this, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The best way to live is to follow the Lord Jesus, for he has saved us. If you're a follower of him, that should make you praise God and thank him for his love and mercy. As we saw in the Luke passage, since we have been saved in Christ, we should continue to worship and show our love for him. And we need to continue to follow our Savior despite the hardships, to take our crosses and to follow and to listen to him as he guides us on the path of life. You see, to find and to live out true life is by following the Lord Jesus, because true life is found in him. And if you do not yet follow him or listen to his words, which are true and gives life, then you are heading down the path of death. When he returns to come to judge the living and the dead, which path have you followed? True life is found in the Lord Jesus. He's the one who brings wisdom and salvation to those who trust and believe in him despite what the world thinks and says. So in that case, how do we respond to this in our lives right now? And I have two applications. For the non-follower of Jesus, for the ones who haven't made up their mind about him, but also for followers of Jesus as well. And so the first one is to discover. If you have not made a commitment to Jesus just yet, I just want to say it's awesome that you're here. Just a big welcome. We love seeing people check out Jesus, who he is, and want to know more about him. If that's you tonight, there are so many ways that you can know more about him. I would love to chat to you after. I love to chat to you after supper. And if you have any questions or there's more staff as well around, or you can chat to the people next to you or even a friend who has invited you too. We would love to share about our testimonies, about how Jesus has changed our lives too. We love sharing the beauty of the gospel. But also, I would also like to encourage you to think about Discover Jesus. It's a course that we're doing. You probably got one of the pamphlets maybe on your seats. But it starts on Monday the 4th of August at 7:30 p.m. And it's a great way for you to explore the Bible and also continue asking those questions in a very relaxed environment. And so if you have any questions on that, feel free to chat to me or any of the staff as well. But it's a great place to do that as well. Now, to reach. If you are a follower of Jesus, I want you to be reminded to continue to try and reach your friends, your family, but also your community who don't know Jesus yet. I remember doing kids' church last Sunday with my kids' minister, Josh, and I find kids' ministry really great. There's a lot of wisdom you get from kids' ministry. One of them is patience, which is a lot of fun. But there was a really interesting thing that happened last week that got me kind of reflecting a bit. Josh asked this kid, "Have you invited anyone to Mini Explore?" And his response was quite interesting. And I think it's a response that everyone actually has in their minds. From a 5-year-old to a 100-year-old, I feel like you feel this way. So anyway, the kid, this is what the kid said. He said, "I have not because... what will happen if they say no? What will happen if my friends say no to Mini Explore?" Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel kind of nervous or worried about what your friends would think? Do you ever have that feeling? And even the response that they will give? I know for me, many times when I'm hanging out with my schoolmates, I get quite worried or get quite nervous when there's maybe a gospel conversation that could happen, but I get too nervous about how they would respond or how it would turn into a bit of an awkward conversation. Telling your friends and family and even just the community around you who don't know Jesus, it is hard. It can be hard. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we also have a calling to show the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who do not know God. Because some of our friends and family are still walking a path that will lead to an eternal hell. You see, Jesus will come soon, and we actually don't know when. There is an urgency, but there is also a joy in explaining the true life and the great news that Jesus brings. Yes, it will be hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is important. We have the knowledge of true life, despite the awkward conversations and the concern of rejection and how they react. It's hard, but it's important to tell the gospel that brings life. My question is, can you think of three people who don't know Jesus yet? And how are you going to tell them about him? Maybe it is discover Jesus. Maybe it is having more kind of gospel conversations, even starting with what you've learnt at church. There are many ways. And maybe at the end of the service, or even just now, maybe write down three of those friends, and pray to God for guidance and help of how you can do that. I'm going to try and do that myself and try and get that by the end of 2025. And maybe that might be a goal for you. Who are the three mates that you want to tell people about Jesus? Friends, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. He died for us so we can be set free from our sins. Because of him, we can now be confident that we are no longer on the path of death, but we walk on the path of life for eternity, following him and trusting him forever. Amen. We are going to stand and sing. So.